The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله صلى الله على محمد نور من نور الله Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful episode of our lovely series, The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, we are here back with episode number 5 and a very beautiful series indeed. A vast series, a series in which we are discussing many, many, many beautiful topics pertaining to the youngsters and the youth of today especially. Today, inshallah, we will be discussing something important, something exciting, something new. And I did mention previously that our silsila is mainly focusing on the youngsters and the youth of today, especially because of the condition and the state we are living in. You know, the way the world is moving, the way problems and calamities and difficulties are coming our way. And despite this entire scenario, as human beings, we mentioned this previously, we have a purpose of creation. We need to fulfill our purpose, but on the way there are many obstacles, there are many hindrances. And what are those things? We have our nafs in between. We have shaitan attacking us. We have sins. We have lots of hidden diseases. And we have countless things, you know, stopping us from reaching the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going towards our manzil and our destination, which is the hereafter. In the previous episodes, we discussed one of the hidden diseases, which is backbiting. And we discussed how severe it is, what a big cancer in our society this backbiting is. And we discussed the harms and the problems of this backbiting as well. Inshallah, today we will be discussing another hidden disease as well. Why? Because keep in mind, if we look at normal terms, in order for a person to look after his health, his body, he needs to know how to protect his body. He needs to know which things to save his body from. He needs to know which things should he take to prevent, which act as an antibiotic and which prevents the harms and diseases and different calamities and problems and sufferings and illnesses. I mean, we all know what is flu. That is why we took the precautions to prevent ourselves from flu. Whenever it's cold, we wear warm jackets, we keep ourselves warm. Why? You know, people will say, you mustn't catch a flu, you shouldn't catch a cold. Because we know what's the harm of it. If we do not have the knowledge of those diseases, how are we going to prevent ourselves from those sicknesses? It's not possible. You cannot save yourself from something which you do not know about. It's not possible. That is why, in order to take care of our body, our physical body, and you know, mentally, physically, we should be strong, we should be healthy, we protect ourselves, we take precautions, we try all sorts of different things. But spiritually, to cure our heart, to save our heart from diseases, to save our minds from diseases, to save our spirituality from different diseases and different harms, do we know about the spiritual diseases? Do we know about the hidden diseases? Do we know about these filthy diseases which are found with each and every person? But we do not know the cure. We don't know about these diseases. We do not know how to prevent ourselves from it. We do not know which precautions to take. Then in the end, when, you know, our matters start taking a turn, when our matters start getting disturbed, then we go to Mulana Sahib and you start complaining, Mulana Sahib, this problem, 1,000 problems. But we did not know that the disease was within us and the disease was eating us. If you don't go to a doctor in the initial stages, the disease is going to finish you. Whatever disease it is, you need to take prevention and precaution. So likewise, the hidden diseases, you need to stop it immediately. When you know that disease is within you, you need to start stopping it. One of those diseases we learned was backbiting, and another hidden disease we will be discussing today. Allahu Akbar. Today's hidden disease is such a disease which prevents a person from seeing the success in his Muslim brother. Today's disease is such a disease which makes a person, you know, do everything, and he can go to every limit just to make sure his brother is lower than him, or his brother, you know, does not enjoy a nice rank or a nice status, or he does not enjoy a certain bounty. Today's disease is so devastating that it caused harms within families, within relatives, within friends, and entire households were broken because of this disease. And today's disease is so important that because of this disease, our society, our area, our community, the people around us is not able to progress. And what is this disease? This disease is called hasad in Arabic. In Urdu, it's also called hasad. In English, this disease is called jealousy. Allahu Akbar. Today, we will learn this hidden disease, which is indeed very, very, very bad. A disease which is destroying us, a disease which is killing us, a disease which is causing a lot of harm. Today we will learn about this disease, the definition of it, what are the harms of it, what happened to the previous predecessors when they heard about this disease, when they went through this, or when they read about this disease. And inshallah, we will also be learning about the cure and how to prevent ourselves from this disease, inshallah. So I want everyone to please remain with us, and we will be discussing this, inshallah, in detail, subhanAllah. First of all, let us come towards the definition of hasad. What is hasad? A question which comes in the hearts and in the mind of many people. We heard about this terminology before, hasad, but do we know what is hasad? What is jealousy? Ulama-i Kiram have mentioned that the definition of hasad is when a person sees a bounty in a Muslim brother, and then in his heart, he has the desire that that bounty should be taken away from that person, and that person should lose that bounty, and I should get that bounty. This is called hasad. The person who is doing the hasad, the person who is jealous, he is called the hasid. And the one, you know, whose jealousy is being done, the one whom you are jealous of, he is called the mahsood, the one whom you are jealous of. As in Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is that Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had the ability of making kalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he is called as Musa Kalimullah. He could speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make kalam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. So one day, as in Musa alayhi salam looked and he saw that there is a person under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is this person? I mean, he has such a high rank, such a high status. He is so respected in your court." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Oh Musa alayhi salam, I am going to tell you 3 qualities which this man possess." The first quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he says, "Kana la yahsudu an-nasa ala ma atahum Allah min fadlih." Allah, Allah, Allah. That's the first quality. He was not jealous. He did not have this jealousy in his heart for any person's bounty. Subhanallah. The second quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he says, وَلَا يَعُقُّ وَالِدَيْهِ. This person, he shouldn't disobey his parents. He wouldn't go against his parents. This was the excellent quality this youngster had. Subhanallah. And the third quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he says, وَلَا يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَ. Oh Musa, this person doesn't go around carrying tales. He doesn't take something from this person and go and pass it to the next person. He doesn't take something from here and go and pass it on there. No. وَلَا يَمْشِ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. This person does not carry tales. These three qualities were such, this person had such a high rank that his station and his maqam was under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this incident indeed has a lesson. Three qualities which are simple, which are very easy, but not easy for us to act upon. The first quality is not having jealousy in your heart. The second quality, you know, not disobeying and disrespecting your parents. Allahu Akbar. And the third quality is not caring to you. How many of us start analyzing ourselves now? Start looking at ourselves. Start seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, that Muslims are not but brothers to one another. Means that Muslims are only brothers, and a brother is not jealous of another brother. A brother does not go against his Muslim brother. A brother does not have anything in his heart against another brother. Allahu Akbar. A brother loves his brother. A brother unites with his brother. A brother stays with his brother. And you know, he that's how he spends the days of his lives and the hours and the minutes. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once seated with the Sahaba ikram. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba ikram that yatlu'u alaykum al-ana min hadha al-fajj rajulun min ahli al-jannati. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my Sahaba, from this valley, from this place, a person is going to come who is going to be from the people of Jannah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So Sahaba ikram became anxious. They wanted to see who is this fortunate person, who is this lovely person. So, you know, they turned around and they saw that an elderly person was walking, and his beard was wet with the water of wuzu. And in his left hand he had his sandals. So Sahaba ikram says that the next day, again when they were seated with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Nabi sallallahu mentioned the same words, يَتْلُعُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالْآنَ مِنْ هَذَا الْفَجِّ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That from this valley a person is going to come who is going to be a man from the people of Jannah. And they saw that it was the same person, in the same state he was coming. So the third day, again they were seated with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَتْلُعُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْآنَ مِنْ هَذَا الْفَجِّ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That from this valley a person is going to come who is going to be a person from the people of Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. So he says that, as Anas bin Malik says, that after the gathering finished, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood up and he went behind this person. Allah. This was, you know, the qualities which the Sahaba ikram had. That they would go, you know, whenever they found that someone has a good quality, somebody has, he's doing a good deed, they would also try to do that good deed and to go close to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he heard that this person is a person from Jannah. It means he must be doing some excellent quality. So I also want to do that quality, so I should also enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the qualities Sahaba ikram had. Their fight was not the actions. Their fight was not who has more money, who has more wealth, who has the biggest house, who has the biggest car, the best car. No! The only thing they were focused on is who has the most piety, who is more closest to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he followed this person, this elderly person, and he went and he spoke to him, and he says that, you know, I want to stay with you for 3 days. So the person agreed, okay, no problem, you can come stay with me. So Abdullah went there and he went with the intention that in these 3 days I'll see which action he's doing, which action he's performing, what is he doing, because of which, you know, he, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that he is a person from the people of Jannah. So he says, I stayed with him and, you know, he woke up, performed his salah, completed the salah, after salah, daily routine, what the other Sahaba ikram would do, that's what he would do also. And the only thing I noticed is that, you know, at night, Whenever he would turn while sleeping, he would make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first day, second day, third day, 3 days gone. After 3 days, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr bin As, you know, he started feeling that I didn't see anything extraordinary. I mean, he does all the same things which we do also. There was nothing extra. So he says, I decided to leave, but before leaving, I went to that person and I told him the entire situation that, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that you are a person from the people of Jannah, and I came here to stay with you for 3 days and three nights with this intention that maybe I could see which action and which specific action you are doing because of which you have attained such a high rank. But he says, unfortunately, I didn't see anything. So the person says that whatever you saw in these 3 days, this is my, you know, the things which I do every day. There's nothing extra. There is nothing unique which I do. So he says, okay, I started feeling, you know, my heart went down that I didn't see anything unique. As I was leaving, this person said, Abdullah, yes, what you saw me doing throughout these days, that's my normal and daily routine, but there is one thing which is different. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I asked him eagerly, what is that one thing? What is that one quality? So he says that, you know, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows any bounty on a person, anything, this heart of mine does not have hasad, does not have jealousy for another Muslim brother. This heart is always clean for my Muslim brothers. There is nothing evil, nothing bad in my heart for another Muslim brother. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah says, that is the quality because of which you were a person, you were called by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person from amongst the people of Jannah. And then Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned a historical statement. He said, that is the quality which earned you this rank and this status. And that is the quality which is very difficult for us to act upon. Allah, Allah, Allah. Look how beautiful this quality is. Your heart being clean for your Muslim brother. Your heart not having jealousy for your Muslim brother. It's amongst those qualities of the people of Jannah. Allah, Allah, Allah. You know how devastating this disease is? You know how harmful this disease is? You know how destructive this disease is. That once this disease comes in your heart, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions a very beautiful hadith. He says, "Al hasadu ya'kulu al-hasanati kama ta'kulu an-naru al-hataba," or kama qala alayhi salam. He says that hasad, jealousy, eats the good deeds as how kama ta'kulu an-naru al-hatab, as fire eats dry wood. Your good deeds are being eaten in that way. Now make a list. How many good deeds do we have? We will say, Munasab, I read so much salah. Munasab, I give so much sadqah. I give so much zakat. We have lots of good deeds. I will say, do you know what is a good deed? Just coming on the musalla, saying Allahu Akbar 5 times a day, performing your salah. That's not a good deed. No. Let's take one example for salah. You must know how to perform salah first of all. Your qiraat, your tajweed, your tartil, your recitation, your qiyam, your ruku, your sajda, your qaida, your jalsa, your qawma, everything must be according to sharia. We don't even know how to perform salah correctly. Okay, let's say a person knows how to perform salah. Then he came and he knows how to perform salah. In that salah must be only and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During that salah, before that salah, after that salah, the intention must not be so-and-so person must see me performing the salah. So-and-so person must observe me. If so-and-so person sees me, he will think I'm a big namazi, I perform lots of salah. If so-and-so person sees me, he will start feelings in his heart that I am a pious person. All these ostentations showing off riya must be out from your heart. Do we perform salah in that manner? First of all, we don't know how to perform salah. If we know how to perform salah, is our heart pure from riya, from ostentation, from showing off? Let's say it is pure. Now you perform salah in that pure state where everything is perfect and your intention is only for the sake of Allah. Now that is considered a good deed. Make a list. How many good deeds do you have? When you give sadaqah, do you know how to give sadaqah? Is your intention only for Allah? Do you give it only for the sake of Allah? If there's a little bit of, you know, ostentation or showing off in that, it's not considered as a good deed. With this criteria, now make a list. How many good deeds do we have in our account? By Allah, our number will be countable. It won't be difficult for us to count our good deeds. Why? They are very few in number. We don't even have any good deeds. On top of that, we want to destroy our good deeds by doing these filthy sins. Hasad kills your good deeds. It eats those good deeds. You don't even have good deeds. You are destroying your hasad. Where are we going to stand on the day of judgment? The Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that I am not jealous of anyone. Why? Because if it is a matter of this world, let's say he got some worldly bounty, a nice car, a nice house, you know, business is nice, lots of wealth, a worldly bounty. Says, and why should I be jealous of a worldly thing? It's the world, and this world is going to finish. The world, whatever's in this world, is going to perish. Why should I be jealous of that? And he said that if it's a, you know, a great bounty, an Islamic bounty, not a worldly bounty, maybe he is an alim deen, maybe he is a mufti, then he says, why should I be jealous of that? That's good for him. I mean, it's a good thing for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen it for him. Then there's no need for me to be jealous of him. So whether it's a worldly bounty or it's not a worldly bounty, the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a great saint says that, I am not jealous of any person. Allah, Allah. That's how our quality was supposed to be. Why do we have this jealousy in our heart? That person must not succeed. He is your Muslim brother. That person must not become great. He is your Muslim brother. That person must not have a high rank. He is your Muslim brother. Okay, tell me. By you having jealousy in your heart, is it going to have any impact on him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that bounty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him that esteem and high favor. Who are you to go against the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are you to feel bad about the decision? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted it to him, then accept it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him that bounty. Make dua in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, you have granted him that bounty. Grant him more. Grant him abundance, increase in that bounty, and grant me that bounty as well if it is good for me. This dua you can make. This will not be jealousy. Why? Because you want that bounty must be increased in his favor, and you must also receive that bounty. This is not jealousy. No, but our hearts say, no, I must get that bounty. It must be removed from him. Now I must get this bounty, must be taken away from him. Or some people go to a level that, okay, I mustn't get it. If I can't get it, he mustn't also get it. What is this? This is not the love which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, the way they had love for the other Sahaba-i-Kiram, it was a misal and an example until the day of judgment. When the Muhajirin migrated from Makkah to Madinatul Munawwara with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they left their family, their house, their furniture, their business, everything in Makkah for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they migrated towards Medina. Then the Ansar, the Sahaba-i-Kiram in Medina, welcomed them and took them, that come, you are our brothers in Islam, you are our Muslim brothers. And they welcomed them, they shared with them, they supported them. They were not jealous in any way. They did not have the enmity and the animosity in their hearts for their Muslim brothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us from this filthy and this disgusting decision. We have come towards the end of today's silsila. Join us inshallah for another beautiful, exciting episode with new questions and with a new topic. Till then, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts. And indeed, this love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman and the base of everything. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep everyone happy. Without the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no iman, there is nothing. Everything will be void and null. The love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your base. Keep this love instilled in your heart. Be happy, stay happy, remain positive, think positive, stay positive. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep you positive and happy. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu alal habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance.